Welcome to the Sermon Coach Podcast. We're talking with Dr. David Maines about how to preach an effective, life-transforming sermon. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and last time we began a discussion talking about the how-tos, how to enflesh whatever it is, whatever response you're being asked to give in response to a sermon. And we were going to talk about the fourth question, how long, but I think we probably need to cover a few more things in the how-to area. So, David, could you put the how-tos in the context of our previous discussions?
We were talking about four questions to answer early on in your sermon preparation process. What's my subject? What's the response I'm calling for? What are the how-tos that will help people put that response into practice? Give you a possible way to deal with a sermon. Last time I was out here, and you're from Pennsylvania, I'm from Chicago. I came and I preached here, and I preached on the great joy that comes from keeping a clear conscience. I told you real quickly, because I could have asked you, do you remember what I preached on?
Oh, I would have known.
Would you really?
I would have remembered. Yes, because you told us to listen to the of your conscience.
I was saying to people that the Lord enters your life. Literally, his spirit comes inside of you, and he begins to refashion you. And that specific sermon is telling how he refashions your conscience so that he begins to get you to think like he thinks. And when you step out of line, it's like bzzz, like an alarm clock goes off. And you have to be very sensitive to those. In fact, when you first become a Christian, it seems like that goes off all the time. So what I've said to people is, as that happens, don't resent that, but say, Jesus, I appreciate you correcting me. I don't want to say that. I realize when I say that kind of thing, it's not a good thing. And so you're changing me, making me, you're transforming me, to put it in terms that we used earlier. So that's the how-to, be sensitive. And I didn't want to say, okay, I'm going to leave it there. I asked them to be sensitive for one day. And try that one day and say, this whole day, every time bzzz happens in my conscience, I will say, okay, this day I'm going to obey you and go your way, and I'll see if it brings me joy. And if it doesn't bring me joy, then I'm done with it. Because you said in your sermon that it brings great joy if you will be one who keeps a clear conscience. And if it brings me joy, then I'll decide the next day if I want to do it again, and so on. And over a period of time, you set up a habit pattern. So that was my how-to in terms of that sermon. And I think that probably it did affect some people. I would say that probably for a period of time, a lot of them thought about that. And as time goes on, some of them formed a new habit. And I'm going to put in my mind a figure you put in your mind. I would say there were, I don't know, how many people on Sunday morning at the church?
Maybe 300.
Say 300. Of the 300, if I could get X number of people to change and begin living with a clear conscience, how many people could I pull off in one sermon? I would say, okay, I got a figure in my mind out of the 300. Do you have a figure in your mind as to how many were affected?
I'm negatively disposed to think of people responding, so my number's probably low.
I was going to say probably five. If I could get five people out of 300, well, I just know how hard it is to get people to change. But five people, that was a life-transforming sermon one Sunday. That would be high expectation for me. It's not that I don't think I'm a good preacher. I don't think I'm the best preacher, but I'm consistently adequate. But I just know that to pull that off, it's going to take more Sundays and more repetition and more working with them. But five people, that would be high in my mind. So if you said more than that, you're more optimistic than I am. But that was a great how-to. Because people immediately identified. I could tell by their body language and their humor and so on. They were tracking with me. And they knew at the end of that Sunday whether they were going to try that or not. So that was a good how-to.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think coming up with the how-tos is so hard for most pastors?
They don't think in those terms, for one thing. They have this illusion that if I tell you what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to do it. You know, so again, if I tell you you need to pray more, I don't have to worry that you tried to pray and it was boring or, you know, you don't know how to do this. They just don't think in those terms. Then I think it's also fair to say, Dean, that ministers have been taught to preach Scripture. And it's kind of like if I give you the information so you know what Scripture says, now it's up to you to work it out. So you can say, the Scripture says you're to be kind of an active evangelist for God. You're to tell people about Jesus. Well, people don't know how to do that any more than to fly to the moon, you know. So if you lay guilt on them, they may feel terrible shame if they fail, but that's not really what preaching is about. You want to encourage them to be a different person. So, you know, do people know they're supposed to be effective evangelists, share the word and so on? Yeah, they know that. They knew that before you preached the sermon. Do they want to do that? Most people want to do it. I mean, most people are going to say, I don't want to hear that again. You know, la, 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 la. I'm not listening. You know, they want to. The problem is they don't know how to. So the how-to is very important. But ministers, because the how-to is not in the scripture, they tend not to do that. They just leave it blank. And in fact, for some ministers, it never dawned on them that people don't know how to do what's been said there. And the most simple of things. You know, they don't know how to love people. They've never been taught how to love people in a Jesus fashion. So somebody needs to walk it through with them from the very primary, beginner level, baby steps. Yeah, that's exactly right. So if you leave the how-to out, you're in trouble. In fact, I find that with my sermons, a lot of times a good third to half of my sermon is how-to. Because for the most part, once you say this, what the text says, they know. In fact, a lot of what in my mind is biblical preaching, falsely called, they say, let me explain. And they take the whole time explaining the text when if you read it, you knew what it said to begin with. The problem is not comprehending it. The problem is applying it. How do I live that out?
Yeah, that's fascinating to me. It makes so much sense. I'm going to church because I want to be encouraged in my walk with Christ. I want to hear what the pastor has to say, and I want to have something to do. I want to know what it is I'm supposed to do to become a better disciple. Is there a great difference between a pastor and his or her people? And if that's so, how is this problem? How are we going to solve that problem?
You're onto something that's very big. There's a giant difference between the way pastors live and the way their normal parishioner lives. Okay, the pastor has time to study the scripture. They know the books of the Bible very well. The average person in the pew doesn't. The pastor, I mean, part of your job you're being paid for is to pray. So in all your failures, you learn through all of that. The average person, you know, to get up in the morning and have an effective prayer time, I mean, they're going to work all day. They have to be at work at 8 o'clock to get off at 4:30. They got a family to take care of. You know, all these things are taking place. The minister spent, you know, 3-4 years in seminary. They have all this advantage as to who they are, and they sometimes forget what it's like to be a person in the pew. When I was pastoring myself, I made it a point to go and visit all of my people in their job situations. And the more I visited them, the more I realized this immense gulf between the lifestyle I lived and the lifestyle they lived. And if you say, do I know if somebody says I'm interested in becoming a Christian, how do I do that? You know, it's very easy for me to walk them through that process. I've done it many, many times. But does that mean I'm better? No, it just means that's my job. I'm good at it. But if you ask, is the average layperson good at that? No, they're not. So there's this massive difference, and somehow the ministers have a very hard time backing up enough in their lives to remember what it was like before they went to seminary, before they had all the experience, before they, this is now their third pastorate, how they stumbled a lot of times in the first two pastorates, now they're pretty good at it, you know. So there is this working all the time. The only way you're able to understand that difference is to talk to your people and to say to them, you know, I would always say to the people that I preach this sermon, are you tracking with me? And they'd say, you know, not really, Pastor, you're a little bit beyond. In fact, as I would work on my sermons ahead of time and ask for input, what I got more than anything else from people is, you're way beyond where I am, Pastor. You don't understand the difference between the kind of life you live and the kind of life I live. You know, you have these pure thoughts in your mind, and I go to work at the warehouse where they're cussing all day long and there are pictures of nude ladies all around the place, you know, and you're talking about me keeping a pure mind and all. You don't understand what life is like, you know. You don't understand what it's like to live with people who are, they are really mean people. I mean, there are mean people in the church. I think every pastor would agree with that. But I mean, not dozens and dozens of them. You work with a non-Christian, and they cheat a lot of times. They are not the kind of people who are your average church people. You know, they're not the kind of people who are concerned with the poor and the powerless. They're the kind of people who are saying, how do I get more for myself? They're the people. Most church people don't tell outright lies, but you are in the normal world, and you live with people who are self-centered, and they'll tell you a whopper and pretend like it's the truth and just walk away as though everything, you know. So it's a huge difference between a pastor's world and the parishioner's world.